Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His grace and His love and His power to you today. Amen. Thank you. Appreciate that. Today we're going to look at, as we just heard read, John chapter 7, but I wanted to reread a hymn we just sang. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. What a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Today we're going to talk about heavenly vision, having 2020 spiritual vision. And we're going to look at today the gospel lesson read earlier. But the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be preaching on the rest of chapter 7. And I want to look at pretty much a good part of the chapter today and have one topic and another one next week. And I'll show you what I mean. In this whole thing of having right vision, all it takes is just looking in the newspaper or hearing what happened yesterday, awful tragedy, to realize that a lot of people are messed up spiritually, mentally, emotionally, right? Our world is in a hurt of trouble. It really is. When a girl who's born on 9/11, 9 years old, is brought by her neighbor to see a congresswoman, who would dream that she'd be shot and killed? Who would imagine what's going on in our world, right? And all it takes is just looking around and seeing that we have lost our way in many ways as a country, right? And as churches. And sometimes we grasp for answers as to why. And that's because we don't have perfect vision. No one does, to understand the whys. Why does this happen? And it takes spiritual vision to see beyond the superficial. And in our text for today, Jesus was preaching and teaching and doing miracles, and He's confronted constantly by this group of people who are very religious, very anti-Christ, that cannot stand the truth coming from the lips of Jesus. Here's the man of perfect love, perfect vision, perfect grace and mercy, and they can't stand Him, and they judge Him over and over and over and over again. What's neat about Jesus is that He doesn't let that deter Him from His mission. He has perfect vision. He sees His Father, and He only does what He sees His Father doing and what His Father wants Him to do, and that's all He cares about. And we see the Apostle Paul went through the book of Acts having that same type of vision, only wanted doing what Jesus called him to do. But anyway, it's because they had vision. True leaders, effective, powerful leaders in our world today have vision. They see beyond the crowd. They see beyond the superficial, and they see beyond, and they see the end result. An architect can see, in this empty plot of ground, can see a beautiful building. A coach can see a team forming before it's there. We certainly need that in the Arizona Cardinals. We really need help to bring together what we used to have, and how do we lose it so quickly? But it takes a coach to see someone in a person, in a player, and draw that out of them. And equip and encourage and convince sometimes people that they can be what they aren't, what they don't think they are, to convince them that, and Jesus certainly does that. But these enemies of Jesus, they're always judging by appearances, and they think they know what's going on. They think they have perfect vision, and they can't see the forest for the trees, and they can't see God right in front of them. God is right there. The very God of very God, begotten, not made, as we confess in the creed, right in front of their face, that they've heard about and talked about and wondered about the Messiah. Here's the Messiah, and they can't see it. And because of that, they're deluded. And they're so deluded, they think He's of the evil one. So they start talking about the whole thing of how can He possibly be God when He heals someone? And they're going on and on about healing. How could He heal someone on the Sabbath? How dare the Son of God do that? And Jesus says, I work one miracle and it amazes you. Moses commanded you to be circumcised. But it wasn't really Moses who gave you this command. It was your ancestors, and even on the Sabbath you circumcised your sons in order to obey the law of Moses. Why are you angry with me for making someone completely well on the Sabbath? Don't judge by appearances. Judge by what is right. And so we can do that too. We can judge. We think we know the whole story, but we don't have the whole picture. We don't have, and we can grumble, we can complain, and say, why did this happen? Why did it? And don't have the whole picture. And many times we're so easy on ourselves and so hard on others. We judge ourselves real easily. Well, I have this going on and I have that going on. That person, how come you did that? I wonder why they did that. Not understanding and walking a mile in their moccasins, if you will, understanding, well, maybe they're having some difficulties. Maybe they're having other challenges. So it's really easy to get in that complaining, griping, judging mode. And certainly the children of Israel did it, and we see it here, the religious leaders. And they thought they knew all about the Messiah. They had classes on, when the Messiah comes, he'll be like this, he'll look like this, he'll act like this, he'll be the king, he'll reform society, he'll be a political ruler. They had it all figured out. And so the real Jesus, the real God of the flesh comes right in front of them. They can't see it because they thought they knew where Jesus was coming from or where the Messiah would come from. And says this, isn't this the man they want to kill, some were saying, and yet here he is speaking for everyone to hear, and no one's arguing with him. Do you suppose the authorities know he's the Messiah? But how could that be? No one knows where the Messiah will come from, but we know where this man comes from. Oh, really? You really do know this man, where he comes from, huh? Were you there? Were you there in Bethlehem? They assumed they knew that this man was Galilean, from Galilee. They assumed he must have been born there. And they said, well, later on they say, well, we know that when the Messiah comes, he'll be born in Bethlehem of David's line. In fact, if you go to verse 42, the scriptures say that the Messiah will come from the family of King David. Doesn't this mean that he was born in David's hometown of Bethlehem? We go, yeah, yes, that's what it means. And that's where he was born, but they assumed he was born in Galilee. Assumptions can kill us, especially spiritually. The people started taking sides against each other because of Jesus. Still happens today. Some of them wanted to arrest Jesus, but no one laid a hand on him because his time hadn't come. And then verse 47, the Pharisees said to them, have you also been fooled? Not one of the chief priests of the Pharisees have faith in him. In other words, we don't have faith in him, so obviously we're right. So if we don't believe in him, obviously you shouldn't. And he says, and these people who don't know the law are under God's curse anyway. So they're lost anyway. They're condemned. So what do they know? The rabble-rousers, they don't know anything. The common folk. See, do you see what they're doing? They're judging all the time. They've got it all figured out in their mind the way God will work. And we do that too. We figure it out. We think we know how God's going to work. Well, he only works in this way and not that way. Oh, really? Since when did God consult us to see if it's okay with us the way he works in our world today? And it's so easy to put God in a box and say, well, he doesn't heal today. He doesn't give dreams and visions today. Oh, really? People don't see angels today. Oh, really? And it's so easy to think we have it all figured out. The Bible talks about we see through a glass darkly. It's like an opaque glass. And we think we can see, but we really, none of us can see perfect vision like Jesus had. Jesus had perfect vision, didn't need glasses, didn't need to have any eye surgeries. He saw perfectly beyond to his Father. And the prophets yearned to have that vision. The Bible, the Old Testament, talks about the prophets learning and longing to figure out what's going on. Even angels trying to understand the whole thing of redemption, God coming in the flesh, and the prophets would try to figure out, when is he coming? We can't wait for his coming. And they wanted to see when he would come. And even Moses, his eyesight was perfect because Moses was willing to suffer mistreatment and contempt in this world so that he could have a heavenly kingdom. It says that in Hebrews, that Moses looked beyond to his heavenly kingdom where he would have a government and a kingdom ruled by Christ the Messiah. So he had that kind of vision that propelled Moses to get put up with all the criticism and all the garbage he got. How can Moses do this? How can he let us here to die? What kind of leader is he? What kind of on and on. And Moses was able to take that because he had perfect vision, or good vision, not perfect, but good vision, to look beyond to the promised land to his Father and to Jesus who would come again. And when Moses finally gave one of his last sermons, he said, there will be one prophet comes, capital P, and to him you will listen, and he and all the nations will be blessed through him, and it's all through Jesus Christ. So generation after generation of godly men and women were looking for Jesus. Here he comes, and they can't see. Then they said this, Nicodemus, because Nicodemus was a secret believer, you must be from Galilee too. Read the scriptures, and you will find that no prophet is to come from Galilee. That's verse 52. So they refuse to believe because they think they've got it all figured out. Well, there's all these objections in John chapter 7 of where he came from. You know, here in Arizona, we always ask the question a lot of times, don't you? At least I do. Maybe not. Where do you come from? Because not too many people from Arizona. Anybody out here from Arizona? A native? One person. Oh. Well, anyway, most of us were from other parts of the country, right? And we will often talk about that. Well, here they thought they figured out where Jesus came from. But I want to talk today about vision, about having vision. Think of the wise men. On the 12th day of Christmas, we celebrate their coming on January 6th. That's why we have stars on a Christmas tree, because they were led by a star. And that video, the Star of Bethlehem, is amazing. We're now a Christian who is an astronomer, went back with computer programming and tracked the stars when Jesus was born. It is amazing video. I don't have time to talk about it now. But you think about all the travel and all the how far those wise men had to come, probably from Iraq, on a camel. Oh, that doesn't sound very comfortable. A long way. And all the preparation it took and all the time it took to come all the way from Iraq to Bethlehem to see Jesus. And they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold for a king. Frankincense for a god. And myrrh for someone who would die. And they knew who this baby was, who this child was. When they went to the house, it wasn't the manger, a little bit later. When the wise men came, they bowed down and worshipped the Christ. How did they know that was Jesus? The Holy Spirit had to reveal to them to give them perfect vision, enough vision to get them all the way from the middle of Iraq all the way to Bethlehem. And led by a star. We need to be led by a star. And the star is the Word of God. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. Because if we don't have the Holy Spirit, if we don't have the Word of God guiding us, we'll be as bad as these people we criticize in the Bible and be as lost and as blinded as many are today. We talked about that yesterday. It's sad what many pastors are teaching nowadays and leaders. Say, oh, there's many ways. Don't worry about hell. Don't worry about Jesus being the only way. Oh, yeah? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So who are we to say, well, let's just take a razor and take out these verses and take out that verse and take out this verse. And since when do we become Lord over the Scriptures and over the Holy Spirit as to how He'll work, right? So I think it's much better to bow to Jesus, right, and submit to Him, let Him be Lord of our lives, right? To give Him our lives. And open up our hearts and ask Him to open the eyes of my heart, open the eyes of our heart to give us wisdom and revelation to see what God's doing today. Because we might miss out what He's doing right here and what He wants to do in our hearts and our lives and our churches. So it takes that perfect vision from God that only God gives. Paul in Ephesians talks about, and I pray that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation to open up the eyes of our heart to see Jesus Christ, to see what God's doing. And the book of Revelation, the literal name for Revelation in the Greek is Apokalypsos, which means apocalypse, which means to uncover. It means take the cover off and see what God is really doing. Because the Bible talks about this is a mystery, not a murder mystery or whodunit. Mystery in the sense that it's hidden. And what God is doing is hidden to the unbeliever. And God planned it that way, that it would be foolishness to the unbeliever, right? And it says, unless you have the Holy Spirit, it makes no sense whatsoever what God's up to in Jesus Christ or His Holy Spirit, but we have to be spiritually discerned. Otherwise, it makes no sense. Unless we have the Holy Spirit, what God's up to is just like, what are you doing? So it takes wisdom and revelation, and that's part of the Epiphany season. That's why the tree's still up. This is the season of Epiphany. The word Epiphany means to make known, to reveal, to shine light upon, literally. And the Holy Spirit wants to shine light on this Bible. And now that we have more light, it's easier to see the Bible here. I used to really have trouble with the print's getting smaller and smaller, it seems like, every year. And it was getting darker and darker till the light, the windows, and the light comes, and now it shines on this Bible in the same way the Holy Spirit, you must have the Holy Spirit to shine on your eyes and in your mind and on the Word, because the Holy Spirit brings it to light and it makes it jump right off the page. You ever had that happen where they go, wow, I never noticed that before? And we've read this, well, with the Gospel of John, with the book of Hebrews, the book of Acts, we go through it verse by verse, and we're just mind digging up these gold treasures, and it comes out. We go, I didn't see that there before. I didn't see that. Have you ever lost your keys and they're right in front of you, or where are your glasses? It happens all the time, right? And that's kind of funny. But it's sad when we do that spiritually, when God's right in front of us in another person or someone. Just whatever the situation is. And we don't see Him at work. And so the whole point of Epiphany, the season, is to make known. It's when the Christ child was made known to Gentiles for the first time. And other ethnic groups came to Jesus. It wasn't just for the Jews. In Isaiah 60, the prophecy of the wise men coming in of Epiphany, it says, "Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines upon you. The earth and its people are covered in darkness, but the glory of the Lord is shining upon you. Nations and kings will come to the light of your dawning day." The Lord said, "Open your eyes. Look around. Crowds are coming. Your sons are on their way from distant lands. Your daughters are being carried like little children. When you see this, your faces will glow. Your hearts will pound and swell with pride." And it's neat. We just talked about this yesterday, how we're meeting pastors from Uganda and from Ethiopia and all different ethnic groups, different countries all over the world. We go to an ERG conference or an LCMC conference, and we hear pastors from India being persecuted for faith in Pakistan. And what God is doing is absolutely astounding. We in America are the last to be a part of it here. God is expanding and multiplying the church in phenomenal ways, and it's just hundreds of thousands of Christians are being brought to faith all the time. And God's doing some amazing things, and people are seeing it. And we need to be part of that, of the global picture, what God's doing in the whole world, right? Thank you. So we need to pray for vision. I need to pray for vision. I can't see sometimes what I'm going to do tomorrow, let alone down the road. And I need to ask God to lighten my path with His Word. Thy Word is a light unto my feet, light, lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And we pray that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit would illuminate the way, just as He did for Paul and for Moses, and certainly for Jesus, that we would be enlightened to see and not judge by appearances, not think we know, but to be open like a child and say, "Jesus, teach me, show me the way, open the eyes of my heart to see what You're doing right now. And even more, to see Your vision for my life and for my family and for this church. Open my eyes, expand my heart, enlarge my heart to be able to take in what You want to do and not limit it. Because He wants to do more than we can ever ask or imagine." So in a world that's lost and blinded, as yesterday reminds us, people really lost now wondering what is going on. People looking for clarity. You know where to go for clarity and vision, right? We need to keep coming here and coming to God and coming to the Word and coming to the Holy Spirit and then being shining lights so that people see light in us and are attracted not to us but Jesus inside of us. So those who think they got it all figured out will maybe start questioning, "Well, maybe I don't know. Maybe there is a God. Maybe there is something to this Christianity that I have judged that has nothing to do with my life." Because most people today are checking off Jesus and saying, "Nope, tried that, been there, done that religious stuff. I don't want it. I don't want to go to church." Yesterday I went and I was looking at Yahoo about the whole thing, the tragedy on Yahoo, and that there were comments. And I couldn't believe this one comment that one person made, said this: "Yeah, it was probably some Christian that did that. If that's what the world thinks a Christian is, God help us." But then it's our job to show that we are people of love, not of rigidity, judging people, but of love, of light, of compassion, and of vision. And may the Lord give us visions of angels, of what Christ wants to do in our lives. Because what is unseen is more real than what we see. And may we have 3D glasses to see all the dimensions that God wants to work through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.